Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Contact the best authorities. Check on anything that seems to be extraordinary, no matter what it is.
When you see something that's frightening, it looms large in the consciousness.
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
Going on?
Oh, so many chiladas.
Oh, yeah?
CVS across from the hotel only has the lime and salt ones, not the ones with the clamato in it. But any kind of chilada you give me. Summertime.
Still haven't tried that.
Dave.
I need to get on that.
Dave, I implore you.
Okay.
I am, I had to go CVS and get, I just got back to town. I was camping. Just got back to the old Hambone Inn here in Addison, Illinois. I got some jock itch spray and a chilada ready to record. I am recording fully nude, sitting on a towel, just dripping in tenactin. I'll tell you that right now.
Hell yeah, buddy. Hell yeah.
Man, we really steamed our biscuit driving this van all month.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Does it need to be fumigated?
That's what he's. Why do you think I'm sitting here with this fucking dick out on a hotel chair? There's a towel down. I have a towel down.
Okay, good.
But it just needs.
Where are you at?
It needs to breathe, man.
Did you say you're back in Addison?
I'm back in Addison, Illinois. Beautiful Addison, Illinois. Oh God, I got a room with a view of the freeway interchange. It's the beauty about That's Addison. Nice. All rooms have a view of the freeway interchange. Addison is home to a lot of ways to get out of Addison. They know what's valuable here. It's the land and highways. But hot dog, man. Yeah, got some of that. I got eaten up by mosquitoes. That may, I think maybe they took the gout away from me. I don't know if that works that way, but.
That'd be cool.
I got to a point where I just kind of stopped caring anymore. And that lasts for about 30 seconds. And then you're like, fuck these fucking things.
Yeah. One time in the van, one summer, I had an ant problem. And I just got to where I just tolerated it. Just like, go ahead. Do what you got to do, guys.
An ant problem in a van is interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I had some ants. I don't know if there was a open bottle of syrup or what, but yeah, had ants for about a month, and eventually I stopped swatting them and slapping them, and I let them do their thing. I developed a tolerance. It was a real zen moment for me.
I don't think that's tolerance, man. I think that's just poverty. You know, there's some things you can have a tolerance for. Like, I'm camping, I'll deal with these bugs. If you're just living in a place that's infested, I don't think that's a tolerance.
Eh. You know. Roll with the flow.
Well, we're all rooting for your... Quality of life is subjective, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
I don't want ants in my van. I get ants in there, I'll burn it. I'll burn the whole van. I don't care.
Oh, yeah?
I probably got weird big daddy long legs. That was one of the bugs. Then some big thing fell on me. I don't even know what it was, but it clearly wasn't flying. It fell out of a tree onto my lap. While I was reading a book, I was reading Nikki Sixx's autobiography from Motley Crue, and he's just talking about all this sleazy shit that he's doing. He's like shooting up stuff he found in the bushes in front of his drug dealer's house, and a bug fell out of me. I fell out of my camping chair.
Oh man!
Yeah, so I guess I'm not as rock and roll as I thought. I'm usually pretty comfortable with the bugs as long as there's an introduction, but don't just fall on me from the canopy.
You learn anything interesting about Nikki Sixx?
It's okay. So I finished Lemmy's autobiography. and I had Nikki Sixx's. It's the heroin diaries. A lot of it are pages from 1987 from his book, or from his diary, and they're all pretty ridiculous. They're all just like, man, I can't believe I can't get off these drugs. Anyway, I gotta fuck all these chicks. Show's sold out tonight, 30,000 people. Like, it's hard to feel bad for him at all.
Yeah.
So the most interesting parts are, like, other people weighing in and talking about that time that they were interacting with him. Because apparently, he did all the drugs. I think that's a superhero in and of itself. Like, he should be dead. He died twice.
Oh, really?
He died twice. Yeah, the song Kickstart My Heart, he wrote. But then it's like, oh, okay. It's an easy book to read because, like, half the pages are diary entries of him just like, oh, man, I'm so fucked up. So you can skip through those. Another part of it are Motley Crue lyrics, which you shave off about 80 pages off the book because nobody needs to read Motley Crue lyrics.
Yeah.
And he's the writer. He is the brains of the operation. Does not speak well for the band Motley Crue.
No.
But I listened to some Motley Crue on the way back from Wisconsin. I was like, you know, they had some tunes. They had some good tunes.
They do Shout at the Devil.
They do Shout at the Devil. They shout at
I like that one.
Yeah, Shout at the Devil.
I like
Devil.
That one.
They're Live Wires.
Live Wire.
They
do Dr. Feelgood.
Dr. Feelgood. That's their big comeback album when they all got clean and sober.
Okay.
Dr. Feelgood, yeah. Their best-selling album.
Okay. Yeah, I was never a huge fan, but I didn't dislike them the way I did a lot of those hair metal bands. I tolerated them.
They were trashy, and they were one of the early ones, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, still silly.
Mick Mars in that band?
Yeah, Mick Mars, who was apparently...
And his weird mustache.
Yeah, 78 years old back in 1981.
Yeah. A real goblin.
Yeah, I think they resurrected him. I think they shouted at the devil, and the devil's like, all right, here's this guy. We'll give you him. We'll give you this gargoyle that I've had down here for a while.
Oh, man. Dude, what'd you do yesterday for the 4th?
4th, man. I was just sitting in a campsite in upper Wisconsin. Yeah. Just went up there.
How'd that go?
My buddy, you know what? I think I have a hard time dialing into camping when it is just sit there, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, all you got to do is sit there.
That's why I love it. Oh, I got nothing to do today but sit here and enjoy nature.
Yeah, but it was still a family campsite, so I wasn't really enjoying nature as much as, you know, listening to some domestic dispute across the road about, like, well, we had more fucking hot dog buns if you would have bought more hot dog buns. And I'm the one being like, guys, quiet hours are 10 p.m.
Yeah.
And oh, good, you got your child an electronic game to play with in the middle of the campground. Like,
yeah, that's good.
I guess it's not the way, the ideal way I'd like to consume the outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you don't have a choice, and you got to go to a family campground.
Was it super busy?
It was pretty packed. The first one, I went up Thursday night, and so the first one we were looking at was a small campground, and it was all filled up. Unfortunately, this one was just 10 minutes down the road. It was like an hour or so out of the UP, so it was northern Wisconsin. And it's nice. I mean, I'll tell you, like, the idea of Bigfoot or people seeing creatures in the woods, I get it, man.
Yeah.
You go up there to drink. Like, that's what you do. You go up there to drink, and then there's just the mystery of the woods around you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can come up with any kind of story, and people will be like, probably. There's too much shit to cover up there.
That UP is nuts. It is desolate.
Yeah, I almost went today. I was like, man, I'm going to go to Marquette. I see there's bike trails. Like, dude, I need to buy a shower. I need to buy some ointments and light my skin on fire just for a little bit. Just to burn off the mosquito bites and burn off the double glaze of DDT I'm wearing from 4 days of spraying off all over my body.
Yeah.
I took a van shower. That was nice because I had lake scum on me.
Mm-hmm.
Lakes are nice, but you're definitely, you know you're swimming in a contained broth.
Oh, yeah.
In a small lake.
Yeah, it's gnarly.
I'm like, yeah, you're really just paddling. We're on a kayak. We're just paddling through ingredients, man.
Like a big bowl of pho.
Yeah, it really is just a lot of stew that's not leaving the area. That algae has been here for 200 years.
I never understood. That's why I always get confused with freshwater and saltwater. And lakes are freshwater, correct?
Yes. Unless you're and talking they don't about seem the Great fresh Salt Lake. At,
yeah, okay. But lakes never seem fresh at all. Like, an ocean seems more fresh because there's more circulation going on. There's more flow.
People get the saltwater pools now because you don't have to put chlorine in them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think that's a good way.
Do you float?
You float more in saltwater. Plus, when everybody's talking like, oh, your eyes, but it'll burn your eyes. I finally was thinking about that one day, and then I went and opened my eyes in the ocean. I'm like, this is fine. Your tears are salty. The ocean's salt. You can open your eyes in the ocean, no problem. If you're not a little bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if you want to go to the beach and not be a little bitch, it's pretty cool. Take it from me, man. The guy's sitting here with no pants on. Don't be a little bitch. I think normally I would get kind of grossed out by some of that stuff, but I was like, fuck it, man, it's hot out again. I'm getting in this scummy lake.
Yeah.
I'll scrape the stuff off my body. Scrape the goop off.
Yeah, lakes, you know, for many people, that's their only aquatic choice. It's their only option.
I mean, they're calm. You can fish. A lot of them, it's like, all right, no motorboats or anything. Just real easy going with a kayak or a stand-up paddleboard.
Yeah, we used to go wade around Lake Allatoona in jean shorts. Just denim and lake water.
Oh, that yeah. I put on a swim trunk, but I was rocking my Daisy Dukes for the past week and a half. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which might account for the fact that I got my undercarriage is rusting out.
Oh, no. You got to take care of that.
Yeah, man. We're frame's rusting.
Got to keep it dry.
I got to get some Rusty Jones on here. Got to roll into Midas and spray my undercoating.
Oh, boy. So are you done with the tour part of this trip? You got any more shows, or is that it?
Fort Wayne was the last official show on this leg. I'm still looking to maybe... I know some people have been reaching out to me, and if I haven't gotten back to you, I haven't really had much phone reception the last 5 days, and I've just been driving, and so I've been ignored a lot of social media, so I apologize. But I might throw some surprise ones on the way back out of Chicago. But that was the last one. Fort Wayne, man, it's awesome. The shows have been great. I'm excited to get back to touring. If I haven't said thank you for the gifts and everything I've received, which are not necessary, but thank you, everybody. Fort Wayne is just, that's just a good time out in Fort Wayne. A dude brought cutouts of his kids because it's like his kids, they're like, they like your comedy too, but they're too young. So he had just giant cutouts of them that he had behind him. Which was super weird. I'm like, all right, here we go. Like, I will talk about this. But it was the second show in Fort Wayne. You know those shows where, like, I'm totally off the book? I don't even know if I'm going to get back to the book.
Yep.
I'm just jamming and having fun with everybody that's here. And then I had a hotel.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I had a hotel, but the van was behind the bar, and then... The bar next door was a gay bar in Fort Wayne. I don't know how many of those they got, but it was right next door. I'm like, well, I'm going to this gay bar because I'm not trying to make a journey. And everybody else was there, too, because it's like, man, it's just a dive bar. Happens to be the more gay of the bars that are there. Gay, it's a gayer bar than normal.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just karaoke, and some group of dudes kept giving me shots, and I kept taking them. And normally I don't... Normally I don't accept that, but I did. I got gay bar drunk and slept in my van.
There you go, buddy. Did you make any friends?
I mean, no. Just
they're festive people.
Just people that were hanging out. There's a lot of people from the show, too, because we're like, oh, we're parked and there's a bar. So
yeah,
it's less, maybe in a smaller town like that, nightlife has to be more multi-purpose.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're like, oh, well, I would really like to listen to heavy metal, but there's a country western bar here, and I like that music, too, so all the metalheads go to the country western bar. All these fun-loving people would like to keep partying, but it's a Wednesday night, and one place that will be partying is the gay, is the karaoke night at the gay bar, so we're just going to go there. You know?
Hell yeah,
people
man.
Are just in for fun. Good time, friendly fun-having folk.
That's awesome, man.
Chalada, baby. Tell me about your weekend. Go. Enough about me, Dave. Enough about me.
Kyle, yesterday, 4th of July.
Do you have clothes on right now?
Yeah. No, I got. I'm fully clothed. All right. Well,
it'd be weird if we were both nude.
Yeah. No way, dude. Not even over the phone.
I don't even do gay shit over the phone, man.
No way.
I'm talking to another dude. I'm not even scratching my shit, man.
Who was it that had a joke? I'm so straight, I don't even look at my own dick when I pee. I remember who had that joke.
Somebody had a joke about their the masculinity that still exists between a father and son where they can't say I love you. Like, I love you. Well, okay then. Like, because even that would be too gay is to admit that you love your own son.
Bobby, if you weren't my son, I'd hug you.
Yesterday, 4th of July.
4th of July. Made some ribs because I thought it was just Katie and I just kicking it at the crib. Going to have a pretty chill little 4th of July. Made some ribs. I made Mexican ribs with that tajin classico seasoning I keep raving about. Oh, boy. That stuff is just made for pork. Just made for pork, baby.
I saw that picture of those ribs.
Oh, they were. I've redeemed myself, Kyle. I'm back. Back on top of the mountain.
What did you change?
Lowered the temp and just kept a closer eye on them, and I used that meat probe that a listener sent me. So shout out to that dude again. Much appreciated. It's this Bluetooth meat probe. You stick the probe in. Yeah, you download this app, you Bluetooth it to your phone, and it tells you when the internal temperatures.
Blew
where
a tooth
you want it
out on my meat probe.
Yeah.
I blew exactly. My tooth out on this guy's meat probe. It doesn't even fit to what you're saying.
Nah, so I thought it was us. And,
not
and then,
gay, but
like,
I blew a tooth out on this guy's meat probe.
And then last minute, Katie informs me that her dad and two nephews are coming. And, you know, they're fun. They're always welcome. But I just wasn't expecting company that day.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a last. So, and I didn't have enough ribs, so I cooked a bunch of hot dogs. And, Kyle, I think I may have cooked the perfect hot dog yesterday. I want
to
talk about hot
I'd
dogs.
I'd like to hear that. Did you? But okay. First, did you guys just eat the ribs at them while they ate hot
dogs? No, we shared.
Okay.
Like, eh, these are for us.
No, that's a nice thing. That's a nice thing that you did.
Yeah. You know, I was really wanting to take down a whole rack by myself, but, you know, that's, you know, I open up my house to whoever strolls by, you know.
It's kind of
Southern
good,
hospitality.
Good karma out there.
Yeah. I think I made the perfect hot dog, though. Let me explain what happened. First of all, you got to start with a good dog. You got to start with a good Frankfurter. And for my money, it's the Boar's Head Natural Casing hot dogs. The ones that are a little not so uniform, you know, they don't come in a uniform pack. They come in like a grip. It looks like somebody just strung a bunch of wieners together and bound them up in plastic. So, do you know what I mean? That's not
like
the
a cord of
it's
firewood.
Not the brick. Exactly. So sure. They're not. Some are a little longer than others. You know, whatever. So the natural casing, all beef, Boar's Head Frankfurter. All right, that's where it's at, and oh boy, are those delicious. So I smoked those, you know, really with any hot dog, you're just heating it up. It's already been cooked, but I just thought, yeah, throw those on the smoker. And so you added a little smoky flavor to them. Then the second most important element, in my opinion, of a good dog is the bun. Got these brioche buns.
Okay.
There's a brand called St. Pierre. I don't know. You know, what their distribution's like, if it's a regional thing, national thing, but they have their own little display in the bakery section. They're not with the other hot dog buns, the mainstream buns. They have their own little end cap, own little stand, and they do hot dog buns and hamburger buns. They're both amazing. It's the same. I use St. Pierre for my hamburgers as well, but little brioche hot dog buns. So I got the.
Do you know
the,
Ryan O'Flanagan? Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, I know Ryan. Funny dude.
He just makes the dumbest videos, and they're great. And one of them is just him saying brioche like a reggae. He's just going, brioche, 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 brioche. And that's the whole video. And it's one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Oh,
that's my interlude right there. Just funny. He just took the word brioche. He's like, no, it sounds like it should fit in a dancehall reggae song. And it does. It's minutes of him just saying, brioche, brioche. Anyway.
It's a fun word.
It is a very fun word, and he shows you just how fun it can be. Sorry to interrupt.
That's all right. I got the smoked boar's head all beef natural casing Frankfurter going. I got the St. Pierre brioche bun. Now, here's what I did with the buns. I took a whole grip of the buns, and I wrapped them in a big wad of damp paper towels. Took like 4 or 5 of them.
Okay.
Damp paper towel, wrapped them up real tight, and then around that I wrapped them up again in aluminum foil. So I took that big pack and threw it on the smoker for about 10 minutes and let it get all steamy. All right, so now we got the smoked Frankfurter. We got the steamed brioche bun. Then I made a homemade relish of just raw white onion, banana peppers, and pickles.
Okay.
So I took a bunch of onion, banana peppers, and dill pickles and diced them all up together, made a nice little relish, and then hit it with some good old-fashioned French's yellow mustard, and maybe the best fucking hot dog I've ever had. I was real impressed. I was real pleased.
What do you think? Is it really the assembly, or is there one thing that, like, because that relish got me interested?
I think it's the same principle with anything you're cooking. If you just use good ingredients and then, you know, decent technique, you're going to have a winner. But, you know, people think that, oh, it's just a hot dog. I'm not going to put forth any effort. I'm going to get the cheap, shitty hot dogs and the cheap, shitty buns. No. Get the good Frankfurters, get the good buns, and then add a little, you know, little personal touch, you know, make a little homemade relish or whatever, you know, some, you know, you could do a little spicy mustard type thing. You could doctor up your own mustard, whatever. But I just love all those flavors combined. Just the squishy soft bun, the snap of the Frankfurter, the bite of the relish, the bite of the mustard, and just, you know, if everything's done properly, oh man, it just comes together to be such a just a fun dance in your mouth. Oh,
you're right.
It was so good, dude.
I mean, a little part of me was like, all right, you're getting a little too good for hot dogs there. But then it's like, all right, why shouldn't I let them have their day in the sun?
Yeah, you got to remember where you came from. Don't forget where you came from. Don't get above your razor. Hey, I'm not too good.
Just
because
Johnny Ramone only plays the same three chords on a Maserati guitar doesn't mean you can't play other stuff on that guitar. Does that make sense? I'm just excited to talk to somebody, Dave. I've been isolated for several days. My metaphors are off track.
Oh, you're doing fine. But yeah, it was a wonderful hot dog. I was very pleased with that. The ribs were on point. Smoked corn on the cob. Oh man, this smoked corn on the cob, dude. Took some good corn on the cob, melted some butter, mixed in some of that tahine, and basted that, brushed that onto the corn, and then smoked that for a couple hours. Oh, man. And then I tried to do tater tots. I fucked up the tater tots. But
how'd you fuck up tots?
Well, I like to deep fry my tots. I don't do the oven. They're just real mediocre. Frozen fries, frozen tots in the oven, frozen wings in the oven, just real mediocre. So, but we didn't have enough oil, so I tried to use a small little saucepan and just do small batches, and it just wasn't enough oil. And, you know, I got the oil up to 350, but because it was such a small amount, as soon as I put a handful of tots in, it just brought the temperature down, and it didn't cook them. It just turned them into mush. So, lesson learned.
Well,
need a big pot and a lot of oil if you're going to do a little deep frying. But, yeah, the dogs and the ribs and the corn just turned out golden. Oh, boy, it was a good time.
Did a good job.
Yeah, real pleased with that.
Well, nice, buddy. What was the rest of your week like?
Okay. Had a street justice false alarm the other day. False alarm on some street justice. When was this? This would have been maybe Thursday. So I'm leaving the house. I'm going to go hit up some record stores, go fart around, run some errands, look at some records. And while I'm leaving, I noticed that parked right in front of the house is an old minivan with two dudes just sitting in there.
Okay.
And I noticed them. And I was like, all right, just two dudes just sitting there. And it's just, you know, you don't want to judge. You don't want to overreact. But at the same time, you got to keep your antenna up. You know, you got to be aware of any potential dangers out there. So just seeing, you know, two 30-year-old dudes in an old crappy, it was an old, like a Previa. Was that a Toyota or a Nissan? That old Previa weird-looking
bubbly. It's bubbly
minivan.
Looking, yeah.
Yeah, bubbly. An old Previa, just two dudes just sitting there, not doing anything. Looked like they were on a stakeout. So I see them, and I think, all right, what are these guys up to? So I leave, I pull off, but then I circle the block like two or three times. Before I go continue on to my destination, I just circle the block just to see what they're up to. They're still sitting in there. And then at that point, I'm like, well, I don't know what else I could do, you know. So hopefully they're just doing something else and, you know, whatever. So I leave, and I'm in the record store. About 20 minutes later, Katie calls me, and she's freaked out. She said there's these two dudes standing right in front of the apartment on the sidewalk. They look like they're up to no good. Then they walked to the back of our building. They walked up our driveway and went into the back of the building. Right. And looked around, and she said, and Katie rarely does this. Like, she's not a drama queen in that sense, where she overreacts to stuff like that. So
way to enunciate. She's not a drama queen in that sense.
In that sense, yeah. No, but rarely. I mean, I don't know if she's ever called me and said, hey, can you come back? I'm weirded out by so-and-so. But she was truly weirded out. She says they walked to the back of the property. They're looking around, whatever. So I'm like, all right. So I circle back, and I see them out front a little ahead of the apartment. So they didn't see me. So I was like, well, do I go talk to them immediately? Let me go in and check in with Katie and see what the thing is. And she said, everything I just explained, she explained to me. They walked to the back. They're looking around. They just look suspicious. She's like, I'm just genuinely a little freaked out. Can you go talk to them, see what they're up to? Well, then I observe, and one of them is inside of an old VW Bug, an old blue Volkswagen Bug, like a 70s model. So one of them's inside that. The other is hanging out, standing by the passenger window, bent over talking to him. So they're talking back and forth, and I'm just
they're in a different van now.
Yes. They showed up in a van, and now one of them's in a Bug, and the other one's standing outside of the Bug talking to him.
Okay.
So I'm observing, and they just, they didn't really, from my vantage point, they didn't look suspicious then. They looked suspicious when I left, just sitting in the van, but then, all right, it's a guy sitting in a car, and it's another guy outside talking to him. No big deal, but she's like, I was like, honey, I think they're just, you know. She's like, no, they're up to something. They walked to the back. And that was the determining factor for me of like, okay, there's no need for them to walk to the back of the property. You know, if they're doing something with this car, if they're meeting somebody, do whatever, that's fine. But that was the thing that made me go, okay, if they walk to the back of the property and we're looking around, then yeah, I'd like to have an explanation for that. So finally I approach him. And one of the dudes is a big old dude. He was like 6'4", 300. So I was polite, you know.
I was polite to him.
I didn't just come out just aggressive, like, hey, fucko, what are you doing? I was just like, hey, I called him boss. Hey, boss, what's up? And he was friendly. He said, hey, man, what's up? I was like, hey, not trying to pry here. Just curious what you two guys are doing. He goes, oh, something about the car. Oh, my buddy's VW, we're looking for a part or something. Something about his car was broke down, blah, blah, blah. And I go, okay, that's all well and good. Let me ask you one more question. Why were you guys in the back of the property? Mm-hmm. And then he goes, oh, his mom lives in this building. And I know the other three tenants in this building, four apartments in this building. I know everybody. And I go, really? His mom lives in this building? I was like, this one right here. And he goes, yeah. And I go, huh. And I said, I don't know about that. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, I know everybody in this building. And, you know, and there's only one apartment in this building where mathematically that would even be possible. There's this, the people live next door, nice couple, but they're probably in their early 50s, late 40s, early 50s. But I never knew the woman to have a son. Of course, I don't know this woman that well, so it's very possible. But, you know, I've known him for a little over a year now, and, you know, we see each other a couple times a week, just neighborly small talk, whatever. And it didn't even dawn on me that that was even a possibility. And I got a little cocky, and I was like, yeah, I don't think that's right, or
well,
something.
Well, she sees
and
he's how like, you treat the other kids in a building. Why would she let you know that she had a son?
So he goes, well, he's like, and he wasn't rude or anything, but he was. Just, you could tell he was getting a little annoyed at me, and he was like, well, go ask him then. And I was like, you know what? That's a great idea. I was like, hey, dude, your mom lives in this building? And, he, and then he stated her name and her address, and I go, huh. And I still didn't believe him. So I texted her, and I said, hey, not trying to be a nosy neighbor, but there's a couple of suspicious dudes around the building. One of them says your son. I just want to verify he is who he says he is. And she texts back immediately, yeah, that's my son. He's having trouble with his Volkswagen. And I'm like, got it. And then I went out and was like, yeah, man, sorry about that. I didn't know Linda was your mom. I didn't know she had any kids. And I told him like twice, two or three times, like, yeah, I'm not trying to fuck with you guys. We just had a bunch of weird stuff going on, a lot of theft and weird things. And they were nice about it. But boy, did I feel like a turd.
Yeah, it could have gone a couple of ways on their part, too, mm-hmm. of like, why does this guy give a shit, but also glad somebody's looking out for a building that my folks live in?
Yeah, and he did say that. The guy's like, ah, no problem, man. Thanks for looking out for my mom or something like that. Or like, keep looking out for my mom. I was like, absolutely, dude. Again, sorry. Wasn't trying to give you guys trouble. But the fact that they walked to the back, and they never explained why they walked to the back, but I think these same people I'm talking about, these same tenants have, is a whole nother story, but they have taken it upon themselves to, there's two garages. There's four apartments, but two garages. They don't rent either one of the garages, but they've turned the rooftop of the garages into their own little patio. There they got potted plants up there and yeah, paving stones. And yeah, it's fine.
Using the space.
This is a space we don't pay for, but we're going to use it. That's neither here nor there. Yeah. But the only thing I can assume is she was like, hey, if you stop by to, you know, pick up your car or something, check out our patio we made. So I'm assuming, you know, that's what they were doing in the back of the property. You know, because no other reason to be back there, even if their mom did live there. There's, you know, that's not their garages. They don't have any, you know, jumper cables or anything out available. So I was like, why would they be back? Oh, maybe they're just looking at the patio that they did. And, but yeah, so, but that's why you can't overreact. You can't always assume. You can keep your radar up, but you got to give people the benefit of the doubt. And I did. I wasn't a dick about it. I wasn't aggressive, but when the guy told me the other guy was like, yeah, his mom lives here. And it just something was like, my immediate reaction was like, that's bullshit. Cause I know everybody lives here. And then right when I said that, it's like, well, mathematically, Linda could have a 30-year-old son. You know, but yeah, no harm, no foul.
That's my thing with like apartment living. If I saw people wandering around, I'd usually just like, whatever. I make sure my shit's locked down.
Yeah.
But apartment, yeah, it's like, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Hey, it's me, Dave. Let's talk about food. More specifically, let's talk about Green Chef. Green Chef is awesome. They let you choose from a wide array of easy-to-follow recipes, perfect for keto, paleo, plant-powered diets, whatever you're into. Even if you're just looking for, you know, a more well-balanced diet, Green Chef's got you covered. Green Chef's expert chefs design flavorful recipes that go way beyond ordinary for a diverse array of meal plans and plenty of options to choose from each week. They've sent me this stuff. I cook this stuff. This stuff is tasty. It's healthy. It's easy to do. Recently, I've had Parmesan crusted chicken. I've had beef patties with cilantro lime crema. I've even had pork chops with truffle sauce. Not traditionally into truffles, but they made it delicious. I don't know how. But yeah, it's good stuff. And, you know, I love to cook. A lot of people love to cook. And this way you can still cook, but they're providing all the ingredients for you. They're providing the recipes. There's even pictures of what you should aim for, what it should look like, the finished product. So it's so easy. It's so convenient. It's so delicious. Get you some Green Chef. Here's what we do right now. Go to greenchef.com/boogie100. Use code boogie100, boogie100, to get, you guessed it, $100 off, including free shipping. That's greenchef.com/boogie100. Use code Boogie100, $100 off, including free shipping. Get you some Green Chef. Cook you some delicious, healthy, convenient food. Again, greenchef.com/boogie100. But yeah, so false alarm there. Oh, and this happened the other day. If we can change gears real quick. Let's talk about cats. You want to talk about cats?
I mean, I like cats. I'm a big fan of fan of cats.
Probably. Yeah, you haven't seen Jenny Nooch in over a month now.
No, I miss my girls. I'm missing my girls, man. At least Rachel came out for a week, but I'll be honest, I'm missing the ladies in my life.
I get it. I get it, dude.
She ran off last night but came back this morning on account of the fireworks. Oh, so
I don't talk enough about this topic on this show, but I absolutely love my two cats, Harvey and Truman. Just a couple of sweet boys, a couple of tuxedo cats. Katie adopted them together like 7 years ago. They're not, she thinks they're not actually brothers, but even though they look the same, they're both tuxedo cats. But when she went to adopt them, they were bonded. I never really heard that term in this context before, but just meaning like they need to be adopted as a pair. And nobody wanted to adopt a pair. So anyway, she adopted them about 7 years ago, and they're basically brothers. You know, they've known each other their whole lives, and just sweet boys. Harvey is kind of the alpha. He's more of the Harvey's not concerned about anything. He's not skittish. He's got swagger. He kind of runs the place, and he's a sweet boy. But you know, Harvey's got some confidence to him. Sweet little Truman. I don't know if a previous owner abused him, and just thinking about that just makes me fucking furious. But he's super skittish, the way like abused animals are sometimes. And I hope that a previous owner didn't do it, but he's just so skittish, and we've never been able to figure out why. But he's also just so sweet. He's such a sweet boy. But just, you gotta tiptoe around him. No sudden movements. He's at the drop of a hat, he'll run under the bed and you won't see him for 2 days. Just his nerves are frayed. So I've known Truman this whole time. And I were on and off years ago, but I've known him this whole time. But, you know, since we've been living together about the last 3 years, we've really slowly, you know, trying to build our relationship. And he lets me pet him, but just a few seconds at a time. And I've never really been able to connect or bond with little Truman, even though I want to so much because he's so sweet. The other day, I'm sitting on the couch, and he just sashays up. And he looks at me and starts meowing. And he never will sit on the couch with me. Like, Charlie will come sit on the couch next to me. Harvey will come sit on the couch. But Truman's like, no, thank you. That's way too much. he can't handle that. He hopped up on the couch. And we had a session. And I'm not exaggerating. Now, keep in mind, I've never petted him for more than 15 seconds straight without him doing something and running off. I've never had more than 15, 20 seconds of PDA with him. We had a 30-minute session, and we were just—I was pulling out moves I didn't know I had. I know this is a weird analogy, but it felt like, you know, when you're a teenager and you first start having contact with whomever, you know, some sexual contact, whether it be actual sex or just making out or whatever. But you're
strange line of thinking right now, Dave. I'm not gonna lie.
You know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, when you're new to all that, or at least I was very self-aware and self-conscious of what I was doing. Is this good? Does this work? Do they like this? Do they like that? So I was just in the moment. And for 30 minutes, oh boy, I was scratching the chin, scratching the head, switching hands, switching positions. Oh, he couldn't get enough. And it was a milestone in our relationship. And I just, I know this sounds ridiculous, but it was just a special moment. It was a real special moment.
The eroticism is strange, sure.
Mm-hmm. No, but do you know what I mean? Like when you first time you make out with a girl or a dude, whatever, you don't know what the hell you're doing. You know, it takes a little practice.
I mean,
I
understand. You're trying to like get to know the personality of the animal.
Yeah.
And what a cat one cat might like this, another one might not like this kind of thing.
And he's super finicky. Like, he's any wrong move, and you may not see him for a day or two. Like, so you've got to really tread lightly. And we had, like, an emotional makeout session. It was awesome.
All right. That's again, that got weird, but I do understand what you're saying. I would word it differently for myself, but that's me. Yeah. That's me. If you want to take it into a sort of cuddling bestiality type of thing, that's entirely Boogie Monster is about freedom, man, but freedom to express how, what you need to express. Yeah. But I totally understand that. What you're talking about. Like I mean, old Lil D was a stray cat, so we had no idea of, like, can we pet a stray cat? Okay, it's kind of by the arm of the lawn chair, so you could reach down and pet her from the top. And so, yeah, now I get, like, you got, they have personalities.
Mm-hmm.
They have personalities, yeah, just, that you need they're not going to change for you.
Yeah, and I've never craved acceptance from a person or an animal as much as I've craved acceptance from him. I've been working on this little bastard for years now, and I think we finally advanced our relationship to a new level.
You know, I never wanted to, like, oh boy, cats are this way and dogs are this way, but I do think, like, people's attraction to the different animals. Like, dudes like dogs because the whole thing is you try to control a dog and get it to obey and get it to do what you want. And boy, like, they think dogs are loyal. Like, was it loyal because you instilled that loyalty because you created a loyal employee to you?
Yeah.
Like, is that loyalty or is it the fact that, okay, I put in the hours of training this thing, I made a soldier. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's like then cats are just like, no, this thing lives with me, and sometimes we watch TV together.
Yeah,
and that I mean,
it's just so harder to it's so much harder to connect with a cat than it is a dog.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's an animal. Why do I need a connection? If the cat chooses me to connect with me, cool, man. I'm going to be pals with you.
Yeah.
Just like if a dog's friendly and wants to hang out, I want to hang out with that dog.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to get an animal knowing I've got to, like, create this thing that looks to me for every command. Like, I don't want that pressure. I want something independent.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, shit, man. Live your own life, dog.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it was a special moment.
I'm glad you had that. That's nice.
Yeah, yeah. Really, yeah. Really working on my moves. Got this little pet / scratch thing I'm doing. I'm going to put on a seminar.
I mean,
get pet Kama Sutra.
It's getting, it is getting, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
It's getting a little horny, right. Dave. I'm not going to lie. You're getting.
Yeah. Oh, I've been emotionally horny for this cat for years. Emotionally. I want us to be pals. I want us to be pals.
That's what horny is, an emotion. How do you feel? I feel horny.
Yeah, but it's I'm saying yeah, I'll just stop while I'm not ahead.
I'm in a Hambone Inn in Addison, and in an hour the only side of the conversation someone's heard is I am fully nude. Horny is an emotion. That's what they've heard.
I thought you were being funny. Is it really called the Hambone Inn?
No, it's the Hampton Inn. I just call it the Hambone Inn.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, that's twice you said that. The first time I thought you were joking. Okay, Hampton.
No, my hometown really has a Hambone Inn.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, that's a bizarre name, but I love it.
It's a bone and ribeye. Hambone and ribeye, which is also contradictory because it's either Hambone or bone and ribeye.
Mm-hmm. Hambone, that's a great. I call you Hambone sometimes.
Yeah, Hambone's Hambone's a good name to throw out there.
Fun nickname, but I was like, wait, is he really at a? Okay, Hampton Inns are good though. That's always kind of my go to if I can afford it on the road. They're consistent for the most part.
It's, you know, I got my points. There's a shadier one on the other side of Addison that. Apparently, my cousin, who's the fire chief, he's like, oh, we're there every night. Somebody's ODing in that one every night. Which is funny because they tore down the old drug motel that you could get hourly rates at and put like this Wyndham Gardens in there, but then it's still just as shitty. Like that, like the geographic location Because then I looked, too. I was like, oh, man, that one's only $60, and this ham bone end's over 100. I'm like, I'll save the money. I'm like, nah, I just want to sleep.
Yeah.
You know, there's more.
I appreciate the fact that Hampton Inn always uses white linens and white bedspreads or whatever you call them.
Well, who doesn't?
Oh, dude, go to any two-star motel, and you're going to have some weird... Dude. Purple, maroon, I'm not bullshit.
I'm not trying to fuck around. You know what? You know how I learned why everything's white? It's because I used to close.
Well, yeah.
I used to close caption. What was the fashion design show? Remember that one? Not that you would fashion for any reason, but
show. Yeah,
it was like a reality show, but it was for like fashion designers.
Fashion police?
No, no, no. It was like every other like Chopped or anything else where people start off and they have to design clothing. Huh.
Yeah, I miss that
one. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't my thing, but it was a well-done reality show if you like that kind of competition. Yeah. And we would close caption it, and for what it wasn't bad. But then they had to design outfits for people in a kitchen, like design chef's outfits and sous chef's outfit and everything. Mm-hmm. And somebody designed it with colors, and they got their ass torn out by one of the judges because, like, the reason everything's in white is so they can bleach it out when they're done because of the stains. So if you're staying at a hotel that doesn't have white sheets, it means that shit ain't clean. I know about the stuff that happens in hotels.
Yeah.
I at least need the illusion of cleanliness. And I do well enough. Like, you know what? I'll spend the extra few bucks when I am getting a hotel. I've stayed in those seedy places. And then you're just sleeping with your own clothes on anyway in a bed with the fucking heater or air conditioning farting out whatever piss has been left in it from the last...
Ooh.
Five high school parties that rented the room before you.
Yeah, I never use the air conditioner. I'd rather just be hot.
Dude, I'd rather walk in the woods naked on a freezing night than look under the bed of one of those hotel rooms.
Oh, it's a miracle. I haven't had bed bugs yet.
Knocking on wood right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, ants
no,
in the
but I've stayed in many a shitty hotels that don't have white. Is it bedspread? Is that the right term I'm looking for? Bedspread?
Yeah.
Comforter, yeah. Many a just like maroon, purple, brown bullshit that you can't tell what's been on there. But yeah, Hampton Inn, you could tell. Like, of course, you expect the sheets to be white, but everything is white. And I appreciate that. That makes it easier to spot the pubes.
That's what I mean. I think that's why it's a disclosure type issue.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Oh, man. I just got just dick out staring at a Schlotsky's. That's Addison, Illinois, baby.
The Schlotsky's still around?
Not this. I honestly, this it's now called Let's Taco About It. It's a pun on taco. It used to be a Schlotsky's.
I like Schlotsky's. I don't see them anymore.
The oldest shit you can do in your own, in your hometown is say what it used to be and what it used to be wasn't historic either. I'm like, oh, that Blockbuster, that Cricket Wireless used to be a Blockbuster video. That's all I do in Addison. Oh, that taco restaurant used to be a Schlotsky's.
Oh, man.
Addison, Illinois.
Oh, should we get into a topic, or what do you feel like doing?
Ulcher just hitchhikes out of this town, I'll tell you that.
So Addison, that's is that west of Chicago?
That is 20 miles down Lake Street.
Okay.
20 miles west of the city.
Okay.
What do we used to have here? I'm sure there's some sordid tale of settlers and whatever they did to the indigenous people around here.
When did are your parents from there originally? If not, when did they?
No, they moved. They were both working at O'Hare, so they moved here.
Wow.
They're both from Melrose Park originally, which is just outside of the city. Still mafia run, I believe, Melrose Park.
Really?
And now they moved out to Addison. Used to get on the news a lot in the 80s for it being a floodplain. Now there's a lot of lovely retention ponds everywhere. So not as many floods, but just permanently flooded areas that used to be stuff. Like, hey, that used to be the Louis restaurant. Well, it's a ditch they dug so it could flood intentionally. a restaurant that would flood every year, and then nobody would go to it anymore.
Ugh.
But they used to keep ducks in back that they would use for cooking. They were like, it was like a higher end steakhouse type place, but we'd ride our bikes through the field and go pester the ducks they had in the cage behind the restaurant.
So they were live ducks that would they would later cook.
That's the assumption there. I don't know why a restaurant just has live ducks. I don't know why a restaurant would have pets.
Yeah, I never seen that. Like a lobster tank, you know. But yeah, go pick out your duck. We'll kill it and cook it for you.
You a lobster guy, Dave?
Oh yeah, big fan. You know, I'm not in the socioeconomic class where I can eat it a lot, but you know, any opportunity to get a lobster or lobster tail, but even a whole lobster. I've only had whole lobster a couple of times and really enjoyed it. Even though a lot of people complain about, it's a lot of work, you know. That's just the price of doing business when you're dealing with shellfish, man. To me, it's worth it.
Yeah, I get that, you know, while I was talking, did I talk last time how Rachel and I went to one of them Cajun boil places?
No.
In Memphis?
I don't think so. Maybe you did.
Oh, that was part of all the weird coincidences.
Uh-huh.
Where remember how I said it was something about, like, what kind of party are they having in this room when the balloon fell?
Right.
Right in front of me. That was also the same part of the trip where Rachel's like, oh, it's place. Imagine we go into some place that's just got a wall of Big Mouth Bass, Billy the Big Mouth Bass, and we go into this place called the Flying Fish, and that's exactly what they had. Because if you brought in your own Billy the Big Mouth Bass, you got like a free plate of crab fingers or something. But, so we did. We sat in this. We had the plate of crab legs and shrimp, which Rachel, I would always get frustrated with the shrimp because I didn't have a technique. And Rachel's like, you got to take off their buttons, those little legs, and then you got to open up their little jacket for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that got me. I figured that one out good for the shrimp. Crawfish are I don't need that much work.
Oh, man.
I don't,
that's good. You suck the head.
I don't want to suck any brains out of anything.
Nah.
No. Do you do that with a lobster? Do you get a whole lobster and suck the whole brain out?
No, but now you're giving me ideas.
I was going to say, what animal are you not going to do that to now?
Hmm. Yeah, I love crawfish, man. I'll tell you this, though.
I was just like, it's like sunflower seeds. Like all that work, and you're like, it was okay.
Those boring-ass whole boiled potatoes, y'all can hang on to those.
Well, see, we were eating those like apples.
Yeah, it's just, they're boring. So boring. It's just like, hey, look what else we got. Okay, just give me the crawfish, maybe a little corn.
I didn't mind a little
the
starch,
sausage.
Man.
Yeah. No, I love potatoes, but just a whole boiled potato. What am I supposed to do with this?
Just something else to soak up the seasoning.
Yeah, I guess so. Did I tell you I got solicited by a mobile meat truck the other day?
Is that prostitutes or is that in what way?
I don't think
meat thermometer.
I don't think I talked about this either. Katie and I just on a whim the last week we went to a bar for the first time in a year and a half.
I saw
that was exciting.
I saw that picture. You guys went to, what was it, a tiki bar?
Yeah, went to a tiki bar. Well, we were gonna. I had the idea. I went to a record store and I've started to befriend some of the employees there. They know me, and I was talking to one. I bought a Devo record the other day. And the guy's like, you know, my buddy's in a Devo cover band. He's playing tonight at Alex's bar, the place you and I've been to.
Good spot down in Long Beach.
Mm-hmm. So I was like, so I came home and I was like, Katie, let's go see a Devo cover band. And she likes Devo too. And we both were like, yeah, live music. And then like 10 minutes later, we're like, what time? We got to pay to park. I think we just got a little overzealous, you know, for the first time in a year and a half to go out and, like, we might need to build up to that. So ultimately we decided not to go to the live concert just because we're old. And it's like, oh, what time do they go on? Then what time are we going to get back? So plan B, we went to a tiki bar. And just it was just delightful. I think it was called the Bamboo Inn, Bamboo something, on Anaheim Street in Long Beach. Really cool, just low-key tiki bar. And we went at the perfect time, about 3 o'clock on a Friday. you know, just a few hours ahead of, you know, the late night, or not the late night, but the weekend crowd, the Friday night crowd coming in. So that's my sweet spot. I love day drinking. I love being in a bar at 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So I spent about an hour there just chilling. I had a couple of silly tiki drinks, rum, passion fruit, pineapple bullshit, whatever. Just delightful. And so we stagger out. And, of course, still daylight, so, you know, I love the dark bar, and I love just, you know, coming out, and then, boom, get hit by the sunlight. Man. Like, like a couple of vampires. And sitting in, like, right in front of the place, like, I think he was even in, like, the handicap parking or something, but just, like, right up front was this meat truck, and he immediately, he sees me, and he goes, that's a customer. And he pops out.
Did he get?
Just immediately pops out of the driver's seat. Hey, guys, I forgot what his pitch was, and I don't want to, I'm morally opposed to solicitation.
Is he, he's straight anybody, selling steaks out of the thing? He's one of those guys?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All
yeah,
right. Okay.
Selling steaks and cuts of meat out of a refrigerated truck.
Yeah.
And just the concept alone, I'm morally opposed to being solicited. Anybody with a fucking clipboard at a grocery store, get away from me. You know, even kids selling candy bar for what, you know. If you got some good shit, we'll talk, but I don't want this generic bullshit. Let your parents send you to basketball camp or whatever. I know that makes me sound like an asshole, but I just,
it's a bit much.
Whatever I need, I know how to go get it. I don't need you just jumping out of a tree and pitching
I'll
me on whatever.
Go to the butcher to get my steaks, and I'll finger fuck my cat, and that's how I'm going to do it, all right? I don't need anybody telling me different.
But my point is, I don't want to be solicited by anybody unless you got a truck full of meat. Then I'll listen. And so my natural instinct was to, like, no thanks, hard pass. But I was, when he said USDA Prime meat, I was like, I'm listening.
Talking to me about me. Either way, I'm in.
Yeah. And this guy gave me his whole pitch, and he knew that he was that I was an educated consumer too, because I was asking him what was choice. Did he have choice? Did he have prime? You know, what kind of cuts do you got? Bone in? You got boneless? What do you got? You could just tell, like, oh, okay, this guy knows his shit.
Yeah.
And and we had, you know, I listened to his pitch, and he had some. The only thing is, we were walking home, and it was hot, and it was about a 2 mile walk. So we knew we were going to walk for at least 30 miles. Like, look, man, this all. He was selling choice ribeyes for $3 a pound.
Would have been defrosted by the time you got home.
That's true, but I just, you know. If I'd have had a little tote bag or a backpack or something to put them in, I would have totally. But I even told him, I was like, look, man, I don't know if you do door-to-door sales, but I told him what neighborhood I live in. I was like, dude, you knock on my door anytime in the near future with these same deals, you're going to have you a nice sale.
Is there? Yeah, do they have a jingle on the truck, like the ice cream truck? Does the pop go to weasel?
I come running out of the house.
Yeah, what's the T-Bone Man's jingle to get Dave huffing and puffing down the block?
Oh, man. But, yeah, I mean, $3 a pound for choice ribeyes, dude. That's easily $12, $13, $15 a pound at a grocery store.
I mean, it sounds like you blew it, to be honest.
Well, I told him. I told him where I lived. And I was like, dude, you're the only – and I told him, I was like, you're the only door-to-door salesman I'll listen to. So you come a-knocking, and I'm home, you got you a sale. I just – we were on foot, and I didn't have any, you know, I didn't want to just walk 2 miles with a couple of steaks, you know. But, yeah, that was, you know, it was just funny because he saw me. He's like, this fucking dude, this is my customer base right here.
Did, what was I going to say? I like that he, I got caught. What's the place in the Atlanta airport, and they do, like, hot dogs, too?
Hot dogs too.
They have hot dogs. Like, you know, there's burger places. There's your Chick-fil-A, but there was a place that has hot dogs. It might be hot dog on a stick. I don't think it was though.
I don't know.
Somebody got me. Recall. I think they had the tongs in their hand and they just clacked them at me and they're like, "Give in to it." And I was like, "You're right." And because I looked once and I'm like, I like being sold stuff sometimes.
Really?
Sometimes when I sometimes I think it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when they're kind of jerks about it and I know I'm not going to buy it. And I'm like, all right, let's have this dance.
Yeah.
Let's have this weird dance.
I told a DARE representative one time that I'm not interested in signing her petition because sometimes drugs do good. She looked at me real weird.
We had a dude come into the closed captioning place, and he had to sell us on why you should get Aflac insurance, which is insurance on top. We all had insurance, and it's extra insurance. It's insurance for what your insurance doesn't cover. If that doesn't say the system's fucked.
Exactly.
I don't know what does. But he's like, say you break your hand and you can't come into work. Well, insurance will cover this much, but then you're out of work for 6 weeks. And the guy was just a sweaty weirdo. And so I was just like, what if I just break my own hand then? Like, I'll break. Are you going to give me 6 weeks? You're going to pay me 6 weeks? I'll break my hand right now. Mm-hmm. Well, we can't. You can't just go doing that. Says who? I'll get out of this fucking job immediately. I dare you to tell me I can't do that. I'll break my finger right now. And trust me, it won't set right. I'll get 12 weeks out of it. Just trying to give this guy a hard time because he was just a sweaty. You're trying to sell me insurance.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to sell me a thing that I already feel is institutionally we shouldn't need it.
Mm-hmm.
But then this guy, because he had made some like weird, sweaty, like, rape shower type of joke in his presentation, and that's when everybody was like, ugh, fuck this guy. This guy sucks. Let's make fun of him.
What kind? Do you remember the joke? What,
no, just something like, and then you're in this trouble, and you're just, you know, you're taking a shower by yourself, crying, and you're crying in the shower kind of thing after, like, something that was like, you're just a weird, nervous dude.
Yeah.
And we're going to eat you alive. That's an odd
thing to weave into a pitch.
Yeah, we're going
to
eat you alive. But just anybody that chooses sales.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I know people need jobs, but...
Ugh, but telemarketers, telemarketers for a while, when I would get an actual person, I would just fuck with them. But now you could tell that they're so over it that they don't even...
What is the scam with the your vehicle's extended warranty? Because I got one of those the other day, and she said...
I get them every day.
You know, I'll answer them just because I'm bored.
No.
And she says, we have an offer about your extended. She said, tell me the make and model of your car. And I was like, you called me. You tell me what make and why are you calling to offer me a thing if you don't even know what car I have?
Yeah, they just want to get information from you.
Yeah.
They'll just get to a point where you have to give them a social security number or something.
So is it a legit scam? They're just trying to get some info out of you?
Yeah.
And how is that legal? How is this not being regulated?
It's not.
Huh.
It's not.
Yeah, she got mad. She got mad at me. And I think she hung up.
Good.
You call me. You tell me, hey, we see that your car, your blah, 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 blah. And okay, if you have some legit info. But yeah, I guess I'm naive. That's just weird that that's just a thing that they do.
No, I don't pick up the phone ever. Now it just goes to, now it just goes to messages, but.
Oh boy. So what's next on the agenda, man? You're going to hang in Addison for a little bit?
I got a buddy in town. I'm going to go tear it up. I'm going to go tear it up on Lake Street. Maybe go, shit, what do we got out here? We got a Shoeless Joe's sports bar.
Okay.
Got a Pyramid Club.
You know about Shoeless Joe bar. Jackson? You know Shoeless Joe Jackson? You know that story?
This is probably just named after some drunk that wandered out of Best Buy without his shoes. There really truly is fuck all to do in Addison, Illinois. We got a Dave and Buster's, which is also D&B's. What I call my genitals. Got my D&B's. We got a K1 golf race carts. We got high speed race carts. We got a Dave and Buster's. We got I'm sorry if I was off mic. I was looking out the window trying to remember what. Got a couple driving ranges. Got a bowling alley. But it's not even historic. You like Boland? It used to have history to the town. There used to be these old buildings that lined Lake Street, and then they widened it because people couldn't, where they were driving so fast to get through Addison, they had to add other lanes to the street. And so they moved. They tore a lot of the old buildings down, but a lot of them they actually picked up like from the foundation and moved them into the neighborhood. So there's a few of those left from like turn of the century, late 1800s houses. But most everything's just single-story strip malls and franchises that have been converted into other franchises. We don't even have an old Taco Bell anymore. The Taco Bell is now a fucking KFC because then Taco Bell moved down the street. I don't... Fucked if I know what they're trying to do with this town.
You should go bowling. What are your thoughts on bowling?
I enjoy bowling. I don't have a problem with bowling.
It's a good time.
When it's the only thing you got to do.
Yeah. I like a good bowling alley bar.
This Big is Lebowski one of the style. Only old things in the town left is the Stardust Bowl. Yeah. I do like a bowling alley bar. You go down to Shadow Lanes down in Koreatown. That was a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Been there.
Yeah, what else? Yeah, there's not much... Not much to do around here, man. Gonna hit up some pals and I don't know. Fuck off, I guess.
Oh, man. Well, have fun, buddy. Memory lane.
Yeah, man. That's it.
How many friends?
Seeing pals.
How many pals from, let's say, pre-comedy days? Pre-comedy Kyle Kinane's life. How many of those pals you still keep in touch with when you go back to Addison?
Oh, quite a few, man.
Really?
And a lot of people, yeah, stay and start families. My buddy who's here now is in from Michigan visiting his mom. My other buddy was stopping back right before he moved back in the city, so I saw him the other night. And then people got jobs and careers around here. Mm-hmm. A lot of industry. Big hub, Addison, Illinois. Big industrial area. That's where all my jobs were.
What are the big employers there?
I don't know if there's like an Amazon or something, but it was all just like a lot of warehouse and manufacturing. So that's when I started working. I worked at Clyde's Delicious Donuts, which is a regional distributor of donuts. They would freeze them. They'd do they had like a gymnasium size deep freeze that I have to crawl around in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That was a weird, fun job for working in a donut factory, like a very stripped down Willy Wonka-esque type of scenario.
Okay.
And then I worked at a place called Plastic Works, which made like little clamshells for phone accessories. Just some rinky-dink tiny warehouse thing with four salesmen in there. And I would just worked with another dude in the shipping and receiving area. Huh. Did a lot of shipping and receiving. It's really my wheelhouse.
Oh, man.
It comes in, you write it down. It goes out, you write it down. Smoke a lot of cigarettes, sneak a few beers. Some of the stuff that shouldn't have gone out goes out. Some of the stuff that should have come in didn't.
Oh, man. Well, good times. When do you expect to be back in Oregon?
I'm thinking that if I start clipping back in a couple days, I'm venturing into the vast greatness of the northern United States. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I've done a trek through North Dakota or whichever one. What's got wall drugs? Is it South Dakota?
Mm-hmm.
One of those, but Montana and Wyoming. I'm still keep a lookout on the Twitter and the Instagram, everybody. I think I got a hookup in Wyoming. Might need one in Montana. Probably by next weekend, maybe I'll be out that way or early next in about a week because I don't know how many days it's going to take, how much fucking off I'm going to do. But I know a dude.
That's a beautiful thing, man. It's a beautiful thing to just travel and not be on a strict timeline.
I mean,
I'll get there when I get there.
Yeah, we did the, I had the official shows. I got a couple of bucks for the shows that were on the books, and now these are the fun ones and the places I never go
to. That's great. This would probably be out of your off your route, but man, if you ever get a chance to go and mess around up in Duluth, Minnesota, that is a beautiful part of the country.
Duluth, eh?
Kind of right on the, yeah, it's way up north. I think it's extreme northeast Minnesota, kind of near the Canadian border. Just absolutely gorgeous up there. Been up there a few times. Wisconsin, Minnesota, all that area, especially in the summer. You know, I don't want to be there in the winter, but in the summer, beautiful.
Yeah, we'll get up to them boundary waters. We'll see. We'll see. I can't make any promises. Stay tuned to the social media, and it'll be like a day before of like, I think I'm going to hang out in this city. So, what about you, man? Where are you doing shows? Let people know. Let people come see.
Oh man, I'm doing some shows with you. It looks like that'll be fun.
Uh huh.
Tagging on to your to that southeast leg of your December run.
Just.
I think we.
We're both going to need the refreshing air.
So that'll be fun. Yeah, I got some other dates. Portland, Seattle, Reno, Eureka. All that can be found at my website, dumbdavestone.com. I got some local shows coming up. I got one July 31st here in Long Beach. I don't have the exact location. I'll be yapping about that. A couple people hollered at me like, you need to let us know about the local shows. We want to see you, because I said I don't like to advertise those, but I'll advertise.
But that's people. I mean, if you know you're going to be doing 10 minutes on the rest of the show, and it's, yeah, and it, because it's local, you're like, yeah, I'm just doing a spot, but come by to a fun show. Yeah. That helps the whole show by letting people know what's going on.
Yeah, no, and typically I do that. I think I'm a little self-conscious this time because I literally haven't been on stage in a year and a half, and so these first handful of shows are probably going to be pretty rough.
Man, I had to do the same thing. It's a weird one.
Yeah.
But it's fun. It's fun to know that comedy can scare you still.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, I want to give a quick shout-out and a thank you to Linward Woodworks. Yeah, you can find them on Instagram at Linward Woodworks. That's LynWard, Linward Woodworks. I plugged them before when they sent me this badass. I think this guy nor myself really know what to call it. I think we're just calling it a turntable enclosure. Just this little box that goes around your turntable to make it look a little more aesthetically pleasing than just the metal and plastic of a turntable. But so he made me one several months ago, just this beautiful, I don't know what kind of wood he used, but just beautiful, just wood, just nice craftsmanship. But he sent me another one because, you know, I was telling about a few months ago when Katie hooked me up with a record room and got me a second turntable. So this dude sent me a second turntable enclosure. So shout out to him. Also sent me a couple of pieces, another little now playing sign that I can put my put the record that's playing currently in there. A little nice presentation for that.
That's fun.
Made a little piece for Katie, a little sign, and wouldn't even let me pay for shipping. I was like, dude, let me at least pay for shipping. He told me to fuck off.
He's trying to hook me up with a table for the van. I'm like, I don't even have the system set up yet to put accept a table. But good folks.
But yeah, just, yeah, beautiful stuff. I really respect people that have that skill and that talent. I've mentioned how that's something I want to do in the future. Like when I retire, I really want to get into woodworking. But as of now, I have no knowledge, no skill in that area. So I'm always impressed when people could just make shit out of wood. They know the proper techniques and the proper tools and stuff. But yeah, great craftsmanship. If you need any cool wood stuff, Linward Woodworks on Instagram. At Linward, LynWard, Linward Woodworks.
I wonder what my next line of hobbying will be. You know?
Yeah, I'm always thinking about that. What am I going to do, you know, later in life when maybe I'm not touring as much or whatever?
I mean, like, I'm already mediocre at so many things.
Mm-hmm.
Why shouldn't I add another one?
Well, you should, just to have fun, man. You don't have to be great at it. But I definitely think woodworking is something I want to get into.
I've never believed greatness to be a barrier for anything.
No.
When I had a Tumblr, I think it was called shooting for bronze instead of
shooting for third.
Shooting for third was the Tumblr.
Mm-hmm.
Reach for the bronze. Yeah, shooting for third. Fuck, that's what it was back in the Tumblr days, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I never got into that. I never blogged much.
It was a fun thing to do for a while. Mm-hmm. And then everything else, there was so much of other things to take your activity, take your attention. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was like, well, I can't keep doing all these things. And it seems like Twitter is the one to focus on. So I went towards that.
Yeah.
But shit, man. Well, let's land this turkey.
I gotta go. Well, I'll save this topic for next week.
We'll get the topic next week, buddy.
We'll get into it next week. It's a fun one.
I gotta get out and hit these hot Addison nights, man. These hot Addison streets.
Hell yeah. Yeah, man. What are you gonna do? Some TGI Fridays, some Chili's?
Well, the Applebee's is now a brunch. It's called Brunch Cafe.
Okay.
I'm happy about it. The Brunch Cafe, much better than the Applebee's.
Yeah.
IHOP freestanding building popped up overnight over here.
Hmm.
Venture is now a Best Buy. Bunch of other shit over that way, Quiznos, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of food that is clearly just shipped in already cooked. That is what Addison is. If you want food that has been mass heated somewhere within a tri-county area, Addison has got you covered.
Hmm.
Dunkley's is actually,
it sounds like a fun place.
Little spot down from my parents' house that they like to walk over to, which my mom, God bless her, just 72 years old with a cigarette in her hand going across four lanes of traffic. Just, and then on the way back with a couple glasses of wine in her. I'm like, wear light colors. Jesus. Not too, my hip hurts too much to get down to the crosswalk. Well, fuck. It's going to hurt a lot more when a Hyundai Sonata takes you out. But they go to a place called Dunkley's where they make a nice little... little quiet bar restaurant right by my folks, and they do a good job over at Dunkley's. I'll throw a little shout to Dunkley's. It's a hard name to get you hungry.
Yeah. It's not phonetically pleasing.
No, it's not wetting the whistle at all.
Dunkley's.
Definitely, it does sound like a nickname of a guy that you were bummed out that he found out about your party. Fucking
yeah,
Dunkley's
fuck.
Here.
Ah, that bastard.
Good, Dunkley's here. Going to drag everybody down talking about his divorce.
Oh, man, he puked in my plants last time.
Dunkley's. But anyway, but it is a good spot. Don't let the name fool you. It's a,
well, that's
used
cool.
to be called
well,
used
fun,
to be
man.
Called John's Pizza. So that's now called Dunkley's. It's John's Pizza. I used a good tour up there. Here's a little folklore. Sat eating at the Pyramid Club. That used to be a Zayers. Then it was a furniture warehouse. And now it's called the Pyramid Club. It's a pool hall. But we're eating a pizza there. We're like, this pizza's really good. It tastes familiar. This is how incestuous the pizza scene is in the Chicago surrounding areas. It's because they had actually bought the ovens from John's Pizza because John's Pizza was award-winning. So they bought the recipe and the same ovens to bring over to that place down the street so they can make the same kind of pizza.
Hmm.
Commitment to the machine that does it. Like there's magic in the machines. So that will be, maybe I might go there tonight. Have a pizza pie.
Man, get out there and have a nice American suburban experience. You know, we're always looking for the cool spots or the interesting places, but sometimes it's right in front of your nose at a Dunkley's.
There's not a lot. I mean, also, I'm 44 trying to figure out what's fun. And you know what? I bet for a 44-year-old that lives around here and wants to see their buddies but stay close to home because they got family and work, a Shoeless Joe's is probably scratching that itch.
Yeah.
I don't need anything. We got a place called the Poor House over here next to Mario's Deli, which is my buddy who I'm meeting. It used to be his dad's deli, but they sold it.
P-O-U-R or P-O-O-R?
Oh, P-O-U-R.
Oh, okay.
Begbie's Poor House, and they do more like, it's like a tiny place with craft beers and stuff like that, but it's a good hang.
Hmm. Okay.
So I'm going to see if they're open. What do you got? What do you got on the docket this week?
Jack shit. Just nothing.
Just out there eyeballing creeps?
Yeah, just neighborhood watch, you know, get back into the weights. I took a few days off for the holiday. I got to get back into slinging the iron around, get back on the treadmill. You know, I'm sculpting my body. So
I like that you're still getting at it. You're swinging the lead around.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah, I'm having fun with that. I've slowly building my collection. I told you I upgraded from the 35-pound kettlebell to a 50. Got the 50 now, slinging that big bastard around. That's fun. Trying not to pull any muscles. Good form. You know. You know what else I'm thinking about dabbling in?
What are you going
to
do?
I think I'm gonna start dabbling at home first. I'm not going to go to any classes till I feel confident. But I'm going to start dabbling in some yoga. I need to stretch out. Need to get loose.
But do not
need to breathe.
Do not underestimate the power of stretching. It is a I'm not practicing myself, but yeah, that is going to be good for you.
I was watching a, you know, yoga for beginners video the other day, and Katie walked in. She's like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I'm watching yoga." She's like, "Why not just do it?" I was like, "Well, I got to do a little recon first. I got to see what they're expecting of me before I just dive in." So, got to find the right YouTube instructor that, you know, I feel comfortable with. So, but yeah, I'm going to start laying around, stretching around in the living room here. Try not to hurt myself.
It's good. I mean, it's one of those things that you might feel silly doing it, but buddy.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to get old. Like no, Rachel says, she's like, "I don't want to be old, like one of those people that gets old and they're just stiff all the time."
Yeah, yeah. I feel like I'm already heading down that road.
Uh-huh.
I'm always stiff.
Same here.
Yeah, so gotta keep it loose, loosey-goosey, you know?
Let's get
be a newlywed soon. I can't be all stove up.
Yeah, man, you got to be limber for that big night. I don't know if you've
exactly
given the way you talked about the cat. I'm not sure you've had sex before, so we might have to have a talk about this. Maybe that's next week's episode. We got to talk about treating somebody nice and special, and let the night be special for them.
Uh huh. Yeah, I don't know what to expect. So, any advice would be welcome.
All right, buddy.
Cool, bud. Good catching up. Stay safe out there. Have fun in the burbs.
Yeah, man. I'm trying to look at what's going on. According to Eventbrite, everything that's close by, we had Slow Jams Industry Night. And then the second most popular thing to do is an in-person support group for female trauma survivors. So... Huh. Looks like there's probably not a lot going on.
You could pull a Fight Club, kind of crash that, hang out, see what's up.
I mean, that's... Got to let them have that space.
Yeah, that's true.
There's Monday Night Chicago Blues Jam at a restaurant called Kale My Name.
Mm.
Something tells me that blues is not going to be reaching deep down.
No.
Not deep down into the soul, the way I assume blues should.
Blues Tractor.
West Montrose. I don't know, it's out in the area. But, all right, I'm going to go find some trouble. I'll report back.
All right, buddy. Put some underwear on before you leave the room.
Yeah, man, I think we drip-dried that tenactin pretty well now. I might throw another quick dust on there and get out in the town.
Okay, bud.
All right.
Well, have fun, stay safe, and we'll holler at you next week, buddy.
Yeah, girl.
Sounds good.
The Boogie Monster. Oh,
Podcast Network.